And I promise you don't have to have your name Sarah to be involved in the church services. Okay, tonight's reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. And if you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 971. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Chris to the front. Everyone give Chris a big clap. And I'm going to pray for you before you speak to us, if that's all right. Dear Lord, I thank you for Chris. I thank you that he is a man of honour, integrity and righteousness. I thank you that he is a man who pursues your word and who knows your character. And I thank you, Lord, that we can have soft hearts and open ears to trust what he says. Lord, I pray for him as he speaks. I pray for clarity of thought. I pray for your eloquence and your words. Amen.
Good evening. Hello. How you doing? Okay. Good, I'm glad. My name's Chris, and I've been here for ages. I've been at this church for... I became a Christian here when I was 14, and I'm clearly not 14 anymore. And I came back about 7 years ago. And so we've been here 7 years. Helena, my wife, is sat at the back with Jessica and Rafi, our two little queens. Don't know what they're doing. And so we've been here 7 years. And I'm on staff team here at Christchurch. And one of my roles is to help oversee our 5 o'clock gathering. And it's just my great pleasure to welcome you here. And I love being here. I really love being here. I love this church. I love what God's doing, and I'm really glad that you can share it with me as well. We are in the midpoint, really, or the second half of a series that we've been doing called Ministry from the Mountain, and it's all based really in Matthew chapter 6 and 7, and it's part of Jesus' very wonderful, practical, incredible teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've had a whole bunch of stuff that we've done already, and tonight we're going to move it forward, and we're going to be then going on for the next 2 weeks after that in the same series. If you haven't been around or you haven't caught up with stuff, you can always do that online. There's all our stuff's recorded, notes are on there, all that kind of stuff. You can always catch up with that if you'd like to. And tonight, we're going to move our series on another week. Before we do anything, though, could you please turn to your neighbor and ask them this question. Have you ever been somewhere but wished that you were somewhere else? Have you ever been somewhere but wished you were somewhere else? Turn to a neighbor, see what they got to say. Okay. Have you ever been somewhere and wished that you were somewhere else? Anyone can relate to that experience or that feeling? It's a feeling for me. My very honest reflection with you this evening is that I'm a home bird. I'm a home guy. I love it at home. Is anyone else here like a home bird? You love it at home. Yeah, I love it at home, which is good for me, but can cause difficulties between Helena and I in our union, because I'm a home bird. I love to be at home. Helena would gladly travel. I don't know about the world, but she would travel a lot more than she does because of me. And I remember this time where it was a couple of years ago, and Helena was determined to get me away from home for our 10th wedding anniversary. And she knew that in order to get me away, she didn't just need to plan the trip fully before she even spoke to me about it. She also needed to plan how she was going to speak to me about it so that she would be able to convince me that it would be a good idea to go away, which I know sounds awful, particularly as we were celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, but she just knew she had to convince me and it was going to take a bit of time. Sometimes we play that game at home where you ask the kinds of questions like, if you were to go to another country, any other country in the world, what country would you go to? Which for me is a terrible game to play. I'd be like, if it's not home, I don't want to go. If it's not at home, I don't want to go. I remember this other time when I was a young boy. I must have been, I don't know, 8 or 9. And I was a chorister. I was a choir boy. Better believe it. I was full on robes and everything. And it was at a church called St. Mary Redcliffe down in the centre of Bristol. And sometimes in the summers, our choir would tour other like big churches when their choir were on holiday. And so we would go and like take over from them for a little while. And remember this particular summer, we were supposed to be going as a choir to Westminster Abbey to sing and to take over from their choir. To sing for a week. And the deal was that everyone, the whole choir would go. And But I'm just a home bird. And I was 8 or 9, and I remember just feeling so awful about the prospect. I wasn't thinking about the opportunity about singing in Westminster Abbey, as good as that might have been. I was just thinking about how dreadful it would be to be away from home. So much so that I ended up only going for half the trip. I remember going on the train down to London for the second half of the week because I couldn't face going for the whole week. My parents even wrote to me in the like 3 days that I was there just to make sure I would be okay. They found my hotel and whatever it was. I remember this other time where I was getting off the plane in India in 2008. And we were there, Helen and I were there for a ministry trip. Getting off the plane in India, you know, you get off in a different country and the smell, the heat, everything hits you. And we got picked up, and we were in quite, well, not a relatively large group. We got picked up in a couple of different cars from the airport. And it was fine until Helen and I got separated and put in different cars. And then the thing that has been the closest to a panic attack that I've ever felt in my life came upon me, and my brain just went crazy just for a few moments. Like, what was the thought? I'm so far away from home. And my brain just went just all over the place for about 3 or 4 minutes. Helena was in the other car. It was honestly, even this week, I'm away on a conference with Julia, who's been singing this evening. Paul and Mark were there. Neil was there as well. I sat around a few of the guys at the conference, and a question gets raised. Which two people in the group would make the best astronaut? Which two people in the group would make the best astronaut? And Julia pipes up, well, it definitely wouldn't be Chris, because he's a home bird. Even this week, I love it at home. Why do I love it at home? I love it at home because really my heart is located there. It's where my heart is. My heart's really at home. And my heart's really at home because the things that I really value are there. And so I want to be there because what I value is there. And because what I value is there, My heart is also there. The title of my message this evening is Location, Location, Location. Location, location, location. Probably a phrase that you've heard. Maybe even a TV show that you could have watched. Anyone watched that show? Oh, you are brave enough to admit it. Well done. Location, location, location. It's a phrase. It's like an estate agent's phrase. It's like the mantra. It's a mantra. And what does it mean? It essentially means that a property can be valued almost exclusively by its location. Value is determined by location. I want to say to you right at the beginning of my message this evening that something that is often true of God's kingdom is that it often works the other way around to the way the world works. It often works the other way around. So in an estate agency, value is determined by location. But I want to say to you this evening that I believe that in God's kingdom, location is determined by value. Location is determined by your value. How do we know that that's true? Let's look at the Bible. If you've got your Bible, can you open it to Matthew chapter 6 if you haven't done already? And I want to give to you, I want to take you through this passage, and I want to give you three ways that I think, or three things that I think this statement is true, where value determines location. I want to talk about how that's true of our hearts. I want to talk about how that's true with our eyes, our perspective. And I want to talk about how that's true with regards to our love and our devotion in our life. Starting with the heart. How do we know that what we value would determine the location of our heart? And I'm going to ask that question at the beginning of each section, and the answer will be pretty much exactly the same. Basically, Jesus says it right here. That's how we know. What does he say? Verse 21, where your treasure is, there your what? There your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. So what's treasure? What are we talking about? I believe that what we're talking about here is that treasure represents the things that we value the most. That's what I think treasure is. Treasure is the things that I believe that we value the most. So when Jesus says not to store up treasure on earth, what I believe is he's saying is he's not to collect a load of stuff that becomes too valuable to us. A load of stuff that becomes so valuable to us that the grip that we have on it becomes so tight that we can't let go of it. Anyone got any treasure on earth tonight? Yep. I got some. I got some treasure. I've been storing up some treasure. And my grip right now is just a bit too tight on the treasure. Important thing to say, our perspective is really important when it comes to this story, this narrative. Our perspective, the way we see things really matters. And I'm not sure that in this passage Jesus is just simply rebuking possessions, money. He's not rebuking flat out. I don't think he's doing that. I don't think it's just about having stuff. I think it's partly and mainly about the way in which we see the stuff that we have. We're going to come back to that in the second section. If treasure is truly representative of what we value, what does the earthly treasure look like in your life? Okay? So what is the treasure in your life on earth, the stuff that you're storing up on earth, what is that? What is that? Okay? Could you just pause for 1 minute and reflect on what you think your earthly treasure is? I'm going to give you 1 minute. It's so much about perspective. Because we simply have to understand that the things that we have, the stuff that we have, the clothes that we wear, the plates we eat off, the houses we live in, whatever, all the stuff is just temporary. it's not going to last for long, right? It's not going to last for long. So partly what Jesus is saying is that if you're going to choose to invest your value on earth, it's a really bad investment because it's not going to last for long. It's a bad investment and it's bad for your heart. Because if you're going to invest your value on earth, your heart will be found there primarily. Your heart is also going to be found primarily in earthly places. And that's not what Jesus wants for our hearts. If we're going to choose to store up in heaven, he talks about the moths. Moths, I brought a jumper with me. This is one of my favorite jumpers, okay? I've had this jumper forever. It's like my comfy jumper, you know? Yeah, you can come hold it. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to turn it around because there's quite a few holes. So I got it out of the cupboard a couple of years ago, and we've got a few holes going on in my jumper. There's a really big one here just on the shoulder. You can put your hand through, yeah? Yeah. There's a really, really big one here on the elbow. Can you see that there? Really big hole. If we turn it round the other way, yeah, we've got some really big holes on the front right there. I had no idea. Thank you, yeah. She said, oh my gosh, yeah. I had no idea I had moss. I had no idea. I just got my jumper out of the cupboard a couple of years ago and was like, all right. Now there's holes there. I didn't know I had moths. And that's the thing with the moths and the rust. It's just hidden away. It's just hidden away, and one day you're going to find that you've got a load of holes in your heart. It's just going to be full of holes. And that's not Jesus' intention for your heart. His intention for your heart is that it's hot. Whole, not full of holes, it's whole. And if we're going to choose to value what is on earth above what is in heaven, our heart will be found on earth, and it's going to be temporary, and the moths and the rust will come away, and they'll just start making holes. When Jesus talks about our heart, what he's really talking about is he's talking about the inner world of us. It's not like they're just the physical heart. He's talking about our inner reality. So when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He's saying, where your treasure is, where your value is found, there your inner world will also be found. That's where it will be. So what's the heavenly treasure then? What are we talking about when we talk about heavenly treasure? I don't think we're talking about just exchanging, swapping our value for stuff and just sort of going, well, I'm just going to sort of swap that over really neatly and just, you know, it'll be a neat job and I'll just stop doing this and I'll just start doing that. I'm not sure it's like quite as simple as that. I believe the ultimate treasure for us to store up in heaven is a life lived in surrender and obedience to God. That's what I believe the ultimate treasure in heaven is. It's a life lived in utter surrender and obedience to God. Because all the stuff can come under that, can't it? All the earthly stuff can come under that. A life lived in surrender and obedience to God. How would it look for us as a people, as a community, to be people who value surrender and obedience over possessions and money? What would that look like for us? What would that look like? What would it look like for us to intentionally make our possessions and our money surrender to our obedience towards God? What would that look like in your life? Because that's part of what I think Jesus is saying here. I want to be someone who has such surrender and lives a life of such surrender and obedience towards God that nothing is held onto too tightly. Not one thing. Because if he says do X, give X, if my life is lived in surrender and obedience towards him, that thing becomes easy to do, which means I'm storing treasure in heaven and not on earth, which means my heart is going to be in a better place. In the world, value is determined by location. In the kingdom, location is determined by your value. What are you going to value? Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about what we value impacts the way we see things, our perspective. So question again. How do we know that what we value impacts the location of our eyes or our perspective? Same answer. Jesus basically says it, which is good. What does he say? The eye, verse 22, is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. That's an amazing statement. That's an incredible statement that Jesus just said there. Your eyes are the lamp of your body. So the way you see things is a very powerful thing. The way you see something is very powerful, because it enables you to be full of light or not. What does he go on to say? But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay. The Bible is really clear, I think, on where our eyes should be fixed. Hebrews 12 talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Colossians 3, Sarah has already read to us this evening, talks about setting our hearts and our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts and your minds on things above, not on earthly things. 2 Corinthians 4, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, talks about, in fact, I'm going to read this one to you because it's just too good not to read. Says, 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, so stuff that you can see is wasting away. As in, it's just not going to be here very long. Yet inwardly you're being renewed. Constant renewal on your inside. I mean, can you believe it? Constant, just constant renewal going on inside you. I thought that's better than that, but I don't know. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what we can see is temporary, but what we can't see is eternal. What we can see is temporary. It's just not going to be around for very much longer. What we can't see is eternal. The implication here is that the weight of God's value is on what is eternal and unseen. Which means the weight of my life, I want that to be on what I can't see and what is eternal, not just on the things that I can see. If our perspective falls primarily on earthly things, our value system will also reflect that, right? We've just said that already. If we're going to see things, if our value is going to be based primarily on earth, our entire value system will reflect it. The stuff you hold on to, the things you buy, the things you wear, it's all going to become like a vice grip that you can't let go of. Do you know there's no coincidence that Jesus, once he finishes talking about treasure in heaven, and he talks about money and possessions, there's no coincidence whatsoever that he immediately goes on to talk about worry. Just no coincidence, right? Because I think there's a correlation to the extent to which we value what is on earth to the amount that we worry. I can't present that to you accurately in terms of research, but I can present it to you as a pastoral like case study of people that I know and of my own life. That the extent to which we value what is on earth and we hold on to it tightly is I think correlates to the amount with which we worry in our life. Now I'm going to pause and stop there with that because Julia's going to take that on next week. And I'm not going to talk any more about worry, but I think there's something really important to be said there. Jesus goes on to say in our Matthew passage, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So how can light be darkness? That's the question I had when I read it. How can light also be dark? Well, it depends on how you see things. Depends. Because if your eyes have got to the point of unhealth, which some of them may have done in this room, some of our perspectives may have reached a point of such unhealth that we actually believe the way we see things is light. And it's actually not. It's dark. That's how light can be dark. Because you can think you're seeing light, but you're really not. The eye is the lamp of your body. Perspectives are so powerful. Don't underestimate the way in which you see things and the way in which Jesus can renew you and your perspective. It's utterly powerful. Okay. Part three. So we've looked at the location of our heart, the location of our perspective, and now we're going to talk about the location of our love and devotion. Okay, same question. How do we know that what we value will determine the location of our love and our devotion? Same answer. Thank goodness, Jesus pretty much just says it right here. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's very hard to have a split value system when it comes to God and money. Very difficult. Jesus says you can't serve both, which also means you can't value both. You can't value both. Can't value both. Can't serve both. And the powerful thing here is that essentially he's saying in the choice that he gives us, if you're going to choose to serve money, it will lead to your despising and hatred of God. I'm sorry, this is heavy. It's just real. All right? If you're going to choose to serve money, it could lead to you despising and hating God. So, I want to use myself this evening as a bit of a case study on this, because it's probably fair to say that in my life, over the course of my life, I've had struggle with money. I've not ever really enjoyed money. I've not enjoyed the process. I've struggled. Money's been a struggle, I think, in my life. So I want to talk about my struggle with money for a minute, just to demonstrate a little point here. Before I do, though, I want to just say something really important, which I think is that when Jesus talks about serving money here, I don't think he's just talking about people with wealth. I think it's really easy to read that and go, well, don't people who serve money are rich people, people who have a lot of money. I know that that's not true because I know I've served money and that's not been my experience. I'm not a rich person, rich, West rich, inverted commas, you know what I'm saying. I know that's not been my experience. So Jesus is not just saying this is not just for rich people. For many years, I served money through my lack, through my fear of my lack of it. I've served money through my fear of my lack of it. And this idea that if we serve money, we might hate and despise God, it all sounds really dramatic, but let me tell you what's happened to me in the past. God's done a lot of work in my heart over the years, but let me tell you what's happened to me. It may not first manifest itself in a despising or a hatred towards God. It may not do that straight away for you. It didn't do that for me, but what it has meant is that the location of my trust towards God wasn't found in Him. So suddenly, because of my fear, my serving of money, I just don't really trust God anymore. That's one of the things that happened to me. Which led to really, ultimately, my faith not really being found in God either. So I wasn't really faith-filled because I didn't really trust Him. Because I was worried about having no money. And then all of a sudden, my belief system about what kind of father he might be or not be is also impacted. And suddenly, he's not the kind, generous, all-knowing, sufficient God that he was. Suddenly, he's the guy that I can't really trust and I don't really have faith in, and I'm not sure he's good anymore, and I don't think he really provides because I'm really struggling right now. So suddenly he's not the father I thought he was, and I'm definitely not the child of God that I thought I was. And it rolls. So what started as something a little bit innocent, I tell you, it goes down the track. It goes down the track. If you're going to choose to serve money, you might just start hating God. Everything Jesus says here is just so beautifully woven together. I love the way he weaves it all together. I love the way he just talks about treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. I love that he talks about that where our treasure is, our heart is also going to be. I love that he says that therefore our perspective is really important because the way you see things really matters. And if you're going to choose to serve money over God, it's going to end in a bad place for you. He's going to go on and talk next week about your worries. I love the way Jesus weaves it all together. In the world, value is often determined by location. In the kingdom, location is determined by value. So the question that I want to end with is, what are you valuing? What are you valuing? Are you valuing your stuff? Are you holding on to your stuff? Let me ask you a question. Is there something in your mind right now that you just could not let go of? What does that say about what you value? I believe that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do with us as a community, even tonight, is to start to reshape our value system. To reshape our value system from earth towards heaven. Because the way heaven sees things is so different. It's so freeing. It's so amazing. He has everything that you need. And for some of us tonight, I believe that he's calling us just to let go of our treasure, to let go of the thing that we value. And I don't necessarily mean actually, although for some of you it might be. God might ask you this evening to let go of some stuff, to give away some stuff. I don't know. I don't know. The Holy Spirit will do what he wants to do. But I want to be part of a community of people who live lives of surrender and obedience towards God. And I want my money and I want my possessions to surrender to my obedience towards him. That's what I really want. Can I invite you to stand? We're going to pray. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and to do what only he can do. And he's the only one who can bring conviction. He's the only one who can bring wholeness. He's the only one that can do the work that he does. And we're going to invite him to come and do whatever he wants right now. And so we're going to give some space for that. And I want to give, it'll start quiet. And because I want to start in that place. I want to just let you settle and just have a moment to reflect. So let's just pause for a moment, invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come, and then we'll see what he wants to do. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're our helper. Thank you that you just love to help us. Thank you that one of your main jobs is to help. And we invite you right now to come and be our helper. To come be our helper. Holy Spirit, would you come and do what only you can do? Do what only you can do. Okay. Now at this point, if you feel like you want to move and get some space, then please do that. There's plenty of space around the room. What I want to do initially is just leave some quiet, some stillness, okay? And this is an opportunity for you to speak with God about the things that he's saying to you, okay? So don't worry about the quiet. If it is quiet, if it gets noisy, don't worry about the noise. You just do you. Okay? Do you. All right. Just going to leave a bit of space now. We want to give you an opportunity to respond. It's really important we do that. It's really important that while you're still in the room that we give you an opportunity to respond to what God might be doing with you. I'm just going to ask Jackie to come and share something because she just came and just shared something with me, which is just, it's just funny. It's just funny that it came up.
Sometimes this is the way God does things with me. This week I opened my wardrobe and I was looking at my jumpers and going through them. And a jumper that I really love because it was my mother's jumper. When I took it out of the wardrobe and looked at it, it was just full of moth holes. And I've just been looking at it all week and I've been so disappointed that this jumper's got moth holes in it. So I put it on our island in the kitchen because I just didn't want to throw it away. And then tonight before I came, I thought, this jumper isn't going to be any use to me. I thought it was precious, but actually I'm going to put it in the bin. So before I came tonight, I threw this jumper into the bin. And I just wonder if there are things that we think are precious, that we think, you know, we want to hold on to, but actually we can get rid of them because God is far more important than my mama's jumper.
It's good. Isn't that funny how that's happened, you know? It's just so funny how that happens. What I'm going to invite you to do is begin to worship. I said near the beginning of the message that from my perspective, one of the greatest treasures in heaven that we can store up is a life lived in surrender and obedience towards God. And so my primary heart for responding this evening is directed towards that. Because if there's going to be a shift in our perspective, if there's going to be a shift in the way we value things, that's really where it's going to happen, I think. And so what I would love to invite you to do is to come. Let's go to the side, I think. Yeah, let's go to the side. If for you, that's something you want to respond to, and you can feel that you want to respond to that, I'm going to ask you to come and just kneel down at the side aisle, your right, my left. And if as you come, just make sure there's a bit of space between you and the people around you, because I'm then going to ask some people just to come and bless what God's doing in you. Okay? They're not going to spend long with you. They're not going to pray deeply with you. They're just going to begin to just walk and pray and bless what God is doing. Okay? So as we begin to worship now, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. If for you, you know that God is asking you to commit to, think about whatever it is, a life lived of surrender and obedience towards Him in a deeper way, then I'm going to ask you to go and do that in a second. Is that okay? Does that make sense? My left, your right, and then we'll come and kneel down and we'll make sure some people just come around and bless what God's doing. All right. Let me pray and then we'll respond. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are a good, kind, generous, loving God who provides for the needs of his children. Thank you for the power of what you want to say to us this evening. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the things that you want to do. We bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So if that's you and you want to respond, just make your way to the side aisle over there and we'll make sure some people just come around and bless what God's doing. Otherwise, we're going to worship for a little while longer. If you need to leave, that's absolutely fine. Sarah will close things off in a little bit and we'll jump up and direct traffic a bit more if we need to. Okay.